Okay. Chinuch and Chanukah. There must be some connection. The truth of the matter is that Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Torah says Vayorek es Chanichov, and Rashi says that that's a lotion of Chinuch, and he defines Chinuch as Tchilas Knisas Odom Kelim or Keli Le Umnus Shu Osid Lamudbo, the beginning of the entry of a person, we're not interested right now in the Kelim, into a profession, into a lifestyle She Osid Lamudbo, that he's destined to remain with. And I think that the concept of destined to remain, long-term chinuch, is really, really what's critical. Because sometimes the needs of the moment as parents, whether it's pressure, whether it's embarrassment, whether it's the overwhelming realization that something that my child is doing is not exactly appropriate, becomes front and center at the expense of the long-term ramification, the benefits or the losses or the damage that can be caused by this immediate reaction. So Chinuch definitely talks about we're in it for the long haul. We're in it for actually nitzchius. Because as you get a little bit older, children and grandchildren, when you start to think of the future. In fact, I heard my father-in-law, Zichrono Livracha, said that I always forget whether it was his first child or his second child was born, but he said he never knew what it means, nitzchius. What does it mean, eternity? Now you have a sense of eternity. It goes on forever. And we want it to go on forever. We want it to continue. And we have to realize that this is just the beginning. The tchilas knisas. It sounds like it's even the beginning of the entry. We didn't even enter yet. It's the very beginning, the earliest stages of the process. And in a young community, we can certainly identify with that of something that we wish will remain forever. And that's really what chinuch is. And that's really the lotion of Chanukah and what actually happened with the Chanukas HaMizbeach, with the Chanukas of the Beis HaMikdash, or the renewing it, setting it up in a way, entering this stage of hopeful permanence that it will continue. The truth of the matter is that, interestingly enough, although the Beis HaMikdosh did not last forever, lasted for a while longer after the Hanukkah episode, but the Torah and the mitzvahs that were saved in the Tkufa of the Chashmonoim. And the lotion of the Rambam is Il Molei Hashmonoim Hoyo Nishtakach Teiru Mitzvahs Mi Yisrael. Teiru Mitzvahs would have been forgotten completely from Klal Yisrael, if not for the victory and the Gvura and the Mesiras Nefesh of the Hashmonoim. But it's Teiru is eternal. And we wish to be part of that eternity. We wish that our children should be part of that eternity. And therefore, Chinuch is the beginning, the early stages, the entry stages into that long-lasting, life-lasting, eternity-lasting process. And that's really what we're here to discuss a little bit this evening. I think in the Chanukah message, there are two very significant points which are very relevant to our world of Chinuch. One is the etzem observance, commemoration of the nisim that took place. There were really two classes of nisim that took place. One was the survival of Torah mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. Had the Yevonim continued? Had they gotten their way? Nishtakach hoyo, nishtakach Torah mitzvahs Yisrael, which never could happen because the Torah promised lo yisi shochach mipizaroi. But al piderech hateva, that's the way it would have been heading. Had they been victorious, had not for the Chashmonoim done what they did. So we talk about the survival of Torah and mitzvahs. We also talk about the Nes HaMenorah. In fact, when the Gemara says, "My Chanukah, al eiz nes kavua," Rashi says, tells us the story of the the menorah that they couldn't find the pak shemen with the chasima, one little pak shemen was enough for one day, and it burned for 8 days. And the next year, and they made a yontif, and we say halal and so forth and so on. Two separate and somehow related historic and both miraculous events. And it's very interesting that even though the Gemara says that my Chanukah, and it speaks about the Ness of the Menorah, it would seem that the miracle and the survival of Torah and the Nisim of this small band of Kohanim against this superpower of the time to be able to drive them out of Eretz Yisrael certainly represented much more of a real miracle of a long lasting, of a more meaningful, of a one that's certainly befitting of the fullest of our attention. And yet the attention seems to be on that menorah, on that Chanukah licht. And the question is, what is that all about? The Rambam says at the end of Hilchas Chanukah that mitzvah's ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva me'oid. V'tzorech lizoher bo lefarsim hanes ulohisif b'sheva chokeil v'hoidoya al hanisim she'osolonu. Says that's a big mitzvah. One must be zoher to be mefarsim, the persume nisa of the ner Chanukah, of the ner, of the mitzvah, of the ner, of the ness of the ner. Lizoher bo and lefarsim hanes ulohisif, and to add to praises on the nisim. L'choira, what the Rambam refers to is, we should be zoyer to be mefarsim in the Nes HaMenorah, but through that, to add praises for the nisim. The nisim meaning the survival of Torah and mitzvahs, the Klal Yisrael, the driving out of the Yevonim, and the victory of this little mishpocha, a few little kahanim, that beat out and chased out this superpower. And it seems that we need to be mefarsim the Nes of the Menorah in order to appreciate more the nisim that took place. The nisim that took place in the burning of the candles for 8 days, of the neiros for 8 days, that in order to appreciate the survival of Torah and mitzvahs, the magnificentness that took place, we have to first be able to appreciate the ness of the menorah. I think the connection is really very simple. The celebration of the Ness of the Menorah really doesn't make much sense. What happened? What are we celebrating? What happened? 2,500 years ago, there was a Kufa in the Beis HaMikdosh where they could have been exempt from the Hadlokas HaMenorah because they couldn't find the appropriate oil. Okay. They could have been Anusim in sense they put the oil in and it only burnt. For a little bit of time, it didn't burn as much as it was supposed to burn. Okay. Or we know that they could have used tomei tikka oil because when the tzibur is tomei, you're allowed to use tomei tikka oil, but it's b'diyeved, it's not l'chatchila. So what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the difference in the kiyum of a mitzvah of a generation some 2,500 years ago between having been potur be'oines or having done it b'diyeved or l'chatchila that they were able to be mekayim the mitzvah b'hiduro. And that's what we're celebrating 2,500 years later. It's very strange. We're a strange people. It's very bizarre. The Terence is, we're machshiv what it means to do one mitzvah. We're machshiv the privilege of the performance of one mitzvah. We're machshiv what it means, not even for us, but in previous generations, they were able, in fact, to do it in its most preferable way. That's worthy of celebrating 2,500 years later. And only then can we appreciate the fact that Torah and Mitzvah survived the Klal Yisrael. If, in fact, we can't appreciate the chashivas of one mitzvah, then the survival of Torah and Mitzvah is irrelevant to us. What does it mean? You know, there are agencies and groups and people today that talk about Jewish survival. It doesn't mean anything if there's no mitzvahs. If we don't appreciate one mitzvah, if we don't appreciate it to the extent that we can celebrate so many years later that one generation in fact performed it in its most preferable way, then we don't really appreciate the miracles that have allowed the Torah and mitzvahs to survive to today. And I think that really is a first basic concept in chinuch, the privilege of doing mitzvahs. So many of our children have this sense of burden, have this sense of pressure, have this sense of force, have this sense of overwhelming feeling of obligation that sits on their shoulders and weighs them down, rather than the sense of privilege. You know, I mean, it's always been that way, because Tariq mitzvahs, it is a burden. It's difficult. But the expression that we used to hear at the beginning of the last century, I guess that's before you guys were born, but we heard that, you know, when we used to hear, I still remember hearing it when I was a kid, "Oy, es ist schwer, es ist ein Yid." It's so difficult to be a Jew. And that turned off more people to Yiddishkeit, maybe than anything else. Nobody wants Schwerkeiten. Nobody wants difficulty. Nobody wants to feel the burden and the pain and the pressure. It's a privilege. And we have to be able to convey that mitzvahs are a privilege. Now, we convey it in word, we convey it in deed, and we convey it in attitude. If they don't see that excitement in us at the privilege of performing a mitzvah, if they don't see that passion that we exhibit, that's palpable, that they can touch practically in the performance, seeing that us perform and our commitment, our dedication, our inspiration with mitzvahs, then it's just the burden that comes across. And certainly when we burden them without offering it as a privilege, without explaining it as a privilege, without teaching it as a privilege, without rewarding it as a privilege, it's too much. It's overwhelming. So the first lesson is, it's privilege, not burden. It's responsibility. But responsibility is a privilege. And to be responsible based on a directive from the Creator Himself, and knowing that those directives are the purpose of His creation, and knowing that we stand at the center of that creation and should have that pride, that to be flattered that the Bo'ir Olam Himself has instructed us, has charged us, has entrusted us with the observance of these mitzvahs for our own benefit, that's the ultimate privilege. And it's that privilege that we need in order to feel the cheshek, the gishmak, the desire, and to minimize that burden of Torah and mitzvahs. Now, only then can they really appreciate, wow, we still have the Torah today, 3,329 years after Maimon Har Sinai. Otherwise, so what? We have the Torah, but like, what's the point of it? What do we need it for? Mitzvah's just a burden. Mitzvah's our privilege. 613 privileges, not problems. That's a whole different world. That's something that we can begin to appreciate. And the truth of the matter is, when we talk about appreciation of Torah, we should think of the Gemara in Aseches HaPoyalim. The Gemara brings the Posuk in the Novi that tries to understand why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Almeh of the Horetz. What happened? And we know certain things happened there, but it seems the Chachomim, the Gemara says, didn't understand it. The Neviim couldn't understand it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself revealed, Al Ozvam es Torosi asher nasati lohem. They have forsaken my Torah. That's why. And that's Chazal tell us that even on the Averos Chamuras of Gil Arayas, Shvichas Dom, and Abed Zorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have been Mavater, but not on Bittul Torah. That there was no Vitur. And Al Ozom Es Torosi, that they had forsaken the Torah. Zok the Gemara, what does it mean, Al Ozom Es Torosi? Al Ozom Es Torosi, the Gemara says, Shlo Berucho Bat Torah Tchila. They didn't say Berchas HaTorah. Maybe they said Birchas HaTorah, they didn't say it with Kavona, they mumbled it, I don't know exactly what happened, but there was a chisor in Birchas HaTorah, Zok Rashi. They were Isik Batorah in that generation. But the fact that they didn't say, on whatever level that means, Birchas HaTorah, that means the Torah wasn't so choshev in their eyes. And if the Torah wasn't choshev in their eyes, that the Gemara says that's begeder al ozvam es torosi. That's the equivalent of forsaking the Torah, of turning my back to the Torah, of throwing away the Torah. And either because it definitely will cause it, or because it's mamish equated to it, whatever that means, but we see that it's so serious. The chashivus ha-Torah. The chashivus ha-Torah is critical. Otherwise, the Torah is in danger. Our connection to the Torah is weak, is tenuous. It's going to break because I'm not machshiv it. And especially because the Torah places so many responsibilities. And limud ha-Torah is such an important mitzvah. And it requires so much time and attention and effort and concentration. So there has to be that sense of chashivus. That chashivus can come from the chashivus of the mitzvahs. Ha-ksuvos bo. And that the chashivus has to come for that privilege of atob ha-chartonu mikol ha-amim. What it means that this Torah, the Torah by which the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the blueprint for His creation, the Torah upon which everything in this world exists, the Torah, the purpose for which this world was created in the first place, the Torah which is the divine directive of how to live our lives, the manual given to us by the Creator as to what is expected of us, so that we should benefit the maximum from all of the privileges that He privileged us with, to be able to give us the greatest hanoah and the greatest pleasure in this world and beyond. And all of this is part of the sense of chashivas ha-Torah. And if our children don't have that sense that it's choshuv, if they don't see it in our lives, they tell the story of somebody who used to learn from 4 in the morning to 7. Every day was up at 4 in the morning. Then he would go home and wake up his children. They go to minyan, they go to school, whatever. And there was a chesaron in the chashivas ha-Torah in that house, because they had no clue that he gets up to learn every morning. They thought their father never learns. They never saw it. That example they have to see. I'll never forget, when my kids were young, we used to go visit on Chol HaMoed, the Nevardik Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yankov Yafin, Zechrei Levracha. And the kids, they were young and innocent, you know, to me, Mr. K. Kids, they said, he should give us a brocha for learning, a brocha for learning. Well, why not? That sounds like the easy way out, a brocha for learning. So he would turn to me and say, there's only one bracha for learning. They have to see the father learning. That's the bracha for learning. That's what chinuch is all about. That expresses the chashivus ha-Torah, and that's what our children will take, and that's what they will follow, and that's what they will end up more and more appreciating the Torah, because they see such an example. I think it's also significant to note that Rashi says in Avohoi V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, Kabbal Malchus Shamayim, V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Avovcha, B'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Medecha, tremendous levels of Avo and of sacrifice for the love of Hashem. Then Rashi brings from the Sifri, but he teaches it, Mahu Ha'avo, what is this Avo? V'hoi V'advorim Ha'ela, Sh'anoichi Mitzavcha Hayoyim Alavovecha. Limud Torah is the expression of Avo. When I learn Torah, and I'm striving to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what they have to understand, they're striving to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His ways, His essence, how He conducts Himself in this world, what He expects of us, what His value system is, and how we can grow and mold our own character through His directives. And all of this has to be Alevovecho. And Rashi says, Mitoich kach, when you learn the Torah, and it's Alevovecho, it's with feeling, it's with passion. It's for saying, "Belibeinu lahovinu lahaskil." In our heart, it starts with the feeling to understand the Torah. He says that a person will come to recognize Hashem and to bring himself to ever higher levels of Avas Hashem. But the Avas Hashem, the learning Torah itself, is the expression of Avas Hashem. So imagine that I learn, I'm mamish engaged in that loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I learn with my children. I am engaged in that loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with the love of my children. It can have a tremendous impact when our kids feel that love is really that Torah is really an expression and an opportunity to deepen that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Agav, I think that it's very important in Chinuch to teach our children that there is such a thing as a relationship with Hashem. I find that word sounds so strange to so many people. Relationship with Hashem, I never heard of that. What's it all about? And the truth of the matter is, Ze kol ha-Torah kulo. What do I mean, Ze kol ha-Torah kulo? Rashi says, on the Maisa in the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says that the Goy came to Hillel HaZaken, and he said, teach me the whole Torah while I sit at when I'm standing on regal achas, and he says to him, Mada loch savi lechavach loy savi. That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. Ze kol ha-Torah kula. That's the whole Torah, the idich perusha. The rest is just explanation. Zil gmor, now go and learn. And Rashi in the first pshat says, chavroch ze ha-Kodesh Baruch Hu re'acha v're'ovicha al ta'azoif. You know what it means to have a human relationship? Don't disappoint. Don't breach that relationship with HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Kol ha-Torah kula, according to the first pshat in Rashi, Hillel said to the goy, is about your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Honor that relationship. Observe that relationship. Maintain that relationship. Don't cheat on that relationship. Don't violate the parameters of that relationship. That relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of Kol HaTorah Kula. That relationship is forged through the learning of Torah. Learning of Torah is an expression of the Avas Hashem, is an expression of that relationship. And we have to convey these messages to our children as much as is humanly possible. And I suggest we should not rely on others to convey the message. As I once heard from an Odom Godel, you know, when it says Vishinantam Levanecho, that refers to Talmidim. Truth is, Vilamadetam Osmesbeneichem, that refers to the second parasha, refers to teaching your own children. But he said, on Vishinantam Levanecho, Elo Talmidim, he says, but don't forget, Ein Hamikro Yoisimi Dei Pshutoi. Fourth, it says Banecho. It's also, your children are also included in that. And children are also included. We have responsibility to our own children, and we shouldn't rely on others to do it. And those basic values in Hashkofas, which are so critical for the chinuch process to remain as a long-term engagement, we have to take responsibility ourselves to maintain them and to be involved in them as much as possible. I want to mention something else, which I think is also very important. There's a very fine line that confuses people between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct of his world and between the actions that we do al pi teva. And sometimes kids, I mean, adults also, it's very confusing. You know, he does it, we're doing it, what are we doing, what are we doing, yishtadlus, what's happening over here? I believe that in the Rambam, in Hilchas Chanukah, there's a defining statement which can really give this a sense of direction. The Rambam says that in the times of Chanukah, the Yevonim caused great tsar and pain to Klal Yisrael, and they violated our religious lives and our daughters, and terrible things went on. Ad sherichem aleim elikei avoseihem. What's the lesson? I think I have it here. It says, "Tzar lehem liYisrael meoid mipneiem v'lochtzem lachatz godol ad sherichem aleim elikei avoseinu v'hoishiyom niyodem v'hitzilom." Until Hashem had rachmonis on us and saved us from their hands, and he saved us, and he said, Hoshia, Vahitzilo, different forms of saving. Then it continues, V'govru b'nei chashmonoim ha-kohanim, ha-gedoilim, v'horgum, and they killed out the Yevonim, v'hoshiyu Yisrael mi'odom, and they saved Klal Yisrael from the hands of the Yevonim. I have a question. Who done it? Who saved the Klal Yisrael? There seems to be a steer in the Rambam. Mitzad Echor, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmonis, and he saved them. Then he says, the Chashmonoim beat out the Yevonim, and they saved the Klal Yisrael. What's going on? I think the answer is really very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a matzav, and has Rachmonis, and decides that it's a done deal, ki hu omar vayehi, it's done. It's finished. He did it. And he does everything. And everything is done by him. And there's nothing that isn't in the purview of his doing. However, when we do ours, he gives us full credit. Full credit to the extent that the Chashmonoim are accredited with saving Klal Yisrael. The Ramban, that's the Rambam's version. The Ramban says, Il moli de Chashmonoim hoyin ishtakach teru mitzvus mi Yisrael. What the Chashmonoim? Wait. Torah misses, first of all, is a haftocha lo yisi shochach mipizaroi. It couldn't be forgotten. And secondly, you just told me HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. What, the Chashmonoim? They did a good job. They were moisa nefesh. They're very wonderful. They deserve a lot of credit. No. Il molehei nishtakach Torah misses mi Yisrael. It couldn't be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. So what's the Ramban talking about? So he says they get credit. And it's a beautiful thing. And our children have to hear this too. It can be so uplifting. How magnanimous HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to Klal Yisrael. He runs the world for us. He does everything. And he tells us, you do what you're supposed to do, and you will be credited for all of the accomplishments that I performed. Something that's very uplifting. It's something that's very validating. And validation, in reality, is another critical ingredient of the process of chinuch. Let me just briefly try to explain. David HaMelech said, "Achas shoalti meis Hashem oisu avakish, shivti bebeis Hashem kol yimei chayai." He says, "I have one request. I want to sit bebeis Hashem my whole life." Sounds like that's the ultimate for David HaMelech. What did David HaMelech say about one who sits bebeis Hashem? Happy. It's like that's like the highest level of happiness. If David HaMelech had one request to sit bebeis Hashem, and he describes the one who sits bebeis Hashem as Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecho, that's it. That's the top. That's the highest. What could be more than that? Okay. So now, what is the Sheirish of the word Osher? We know the Lashon HaKodesh, the words are not arbitrary. That the Sheirish, the three-letter Sheirish, describes the concept, the essence of the concept, not just words that people made up to call a table and a chair and a glass and water and all these things. So the Sheirish seems to be Ishur, validation. Osher, happiness, is about validation, feeling good about oneself. And if we want to have successful children, they have to feel good about themselves. And if we wish to influence our children, we have to be in that critical position that we make them feel good about themselves, that we cause them to feel good about themselves, that they look to us and say, I really owe you, not just for the money and not just for the time and not just for bringing me into this world and not just for all the food and everything and all the sushi that you give me, but we owe you because you make us feel good about ourselves. That's critical. And I believe the first step of that we see is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us credit for everything. Look how he makes us feel good about ourselves. He gives us full credit. He says the Chashmonoim saved the Torah mitzvahs liYisrael, even though the Torah promised they're not going to be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. But they put in the effort. Every effort you put in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you did it. You get credit for it. I did it. And I think both are important. If they know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything, it gives them such a sense of confidence. I don't have to worry. I can trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can do anything. Mitzat Sheni, it gives me such a motivation to do my share because I'm going to be credited, full credit, for whatever I do, even though the accomplishment is really his. It's a very strengthening type of a message, but I think in general we have to be very careful about the validating, making our children feel good about themselves. Now, words are cheap. Best way to feel good about oneself is to discover on his own that he is worthy. There's a very interesting drash that Chazal made on the Poskin Shir Hashirim, Shchira Ani Venova Benois Yerusholoyim. So there's many drushes that Chazal give. One of the drushes they say is, Shchira Ani Be'enai. I'm black in my own eyes. I'm not beautiful. Va'afal pi shenova ani be'enai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I know that I'm beautiful in the eyes of Hashem, Adayin Shchira Ani Be'enai. I'm still black in my own eyes. I don't understand. I know, I say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm beautiful. Now, you can't get a judge of a beauty contest more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has declared, Nova ani be'eini HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How in the world can it be? Adayin shcheir ani be'einai. The Torah says it's not enough to know intellectually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I'm beautiful. I believe it. But I have to feel it. I have to discover it. I have to experience it. And unless we experience it, it doesn't penetrate emotionally. So it's not enough that we say it to them. We have to give them the opportunities to accomplish, to do, to feel good about themselves. You know, we find the same thing. It's an amazing medrash. The medrash says that David HaMelech was only able to say Lashem Ha'oretz Umloyo. Lashem Ha'oretz Umloyo. Yeah. And he says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hey Lashomayim Ushmei Hashomayim Oretz, and everything else belonged to Hashem, but David HaMelech, since he didn't know it himself, he wasn't in Shomayim, so he could only say Lashem Oretz Umloyo. Beinu Shalaylam. David HaMelech wasn't in Shomayim, that's true. But the Torah was made that Hein HaShomayim Ushmei HaShomayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was there and he gives testimony and he writes in the Torah, Shteit Geschriben in the Torah, that Hein HaShomayim Ushmei HaShomayim. And David HaMelech still couldn't say it because he didn't know. Well, he didn't know it. Of course he knew it. It wasn't personal experience. He didn't feel it himself. And unless it was experiential, it doesn't have that emotional impact. And therefore, our children, it's not enough we tell them, oh, you're great, oh, you're wonderful, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. That's very nice. And, you know, first of all, they think, of course, you're my parent. That's what you're supposed to say. Although today, not every kid feels that way. But that's besides the point. That's another discussion. But Lemaisa, it doesn't. But give them the opportunity to do good, the opportunity to succeed. Give them, forgive me, I know this is not a popular one, respect. Respect conveys the message that you can discover yourself, that you're worthy. My parents respect me. Now, I'm not suggesting standing up in their when they walk into the room or not sitting in their chair, but their space. Kid has his room, you know? It's my room. Don't violate my space. My time. Don't think my time is your time. My time is my time. A little respect. My person, my feelings, the way I like to dress. There's limitations to everything. But respect this. So, because respect conveys the message, you are worthy. Take advice from them. In one of the most extreme pieces of advice that I ever give, I tell parents sometimes, ask, you know, I got a kid who's Nebuch, off the derech, and I want to know how to deal with him, and I want to know how to prevent the influence on the other kids. So I say, you know what? The best thing to do is ask that kid how to prevent the other kids from going off. It works wonders because it's a deep sign of respect. You respect me enough to ask me advice how to prevent the other kid from learning from the ways that I do. And it works. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because it respects, that's it. I respect you. Respect can be even more powerful than parental love. Because parental love, okay, yeah, love, the Sipurna defines love as rejoicing in the milus of someone that we love. True, but my parents love me. It's like my grandmother loves me. What's the big deal? But my parents respect me. That's validating. They respect my opinion. They consult with me. They ask me, how do I feel? What do I like? And sometimes we as parents, we live in a very oppressive mode that I am the father, you know, I'm the boss, I'm the king, the only place the Torah tells us to be a king is in our marriage where our wife is a queen. And wise men know that it's only if you treat your wife as a queen that you're going to feel that you're a king and you're going to be treated like a king. That's not with our children. We're not kings. We're parents. And when you tell parents, you know, sometimes you have to negotiate with children. Negotiate with children? What are you talking about? Yeah, because they have rights, they have space, they have feelings, and they need validation. Negotiate when we negotiate, then that gives me a certain status, a certain sense. You respect my opinion, and we can come to some conclusion. You don't control my life. So I think that's also an important point to mention. I'd like to just go on to a few more things that I think are very also significant. And that is Hanukkah. You know, Hanukkah has a very deep spiritual message. In fact, it is the holiday of spiritual survival. Torah and mitzvah survived the Klal Yisrael. But we celebrate it, you know, with funny things. Hanukkah Geld. The gifts, I'm not sure where we got from. You know, but the Hanukkah Geld, that's a Jewish thing. Geld, Jews and Geld, you know, that's a Jewish thing. Hanukkah Geld, okay? Latkes. We take the oil that represents the Ness from which we draw this inspiration, and we make all kinds of goodies in this. And the message, I think, is very, very simple, too. Our children have to be materially and physically and culinarily and satisfied, happy. Very important. Because if we just make the neshama happy, we say, Chanukah is the day that Torah mitzvahs was nishtakach v'Yisrael, and now let's just learn all day. Nothing. No food, nothing special, you know. That's the Rishonim explain that on the Pesach, v'karoso Shabbos oinig, that the Shabbos is mufresh u'muvdil betanugim gashmiim, that allows the message to penetrate better. Because there's something about it. You bring the body on board. It's not just an emotional experience. It's not just a spiritual experience. It's a total experience. My body loves it and my soul can appreciate it better. And this is sometimes we tend to think we overdo sometimes. Maybe more often we overdo the material. But sometimes we overdo the spiritual and we leave out the Shabbos and Yom Tov and everything, every deep, sublime message that we celebrate, that we convey, is al ha-shulchan. You know, this is it. And it's not by accident, and it's not just because we have this sweet tooth, but it's about really making the message fit and satisfying the total human being in order to bring the message home. I'd like just to mention one more thing. The hour is late and maybe there's some discussion. But I'd like to mention just one more thing. And I think I'd be remiss for not mentioning it. And we spoke a moment ago about validation. I'd like to say a word about invalidation. Parental love, as I mentioned, is really limited because my parents love me. They're pre-programmed, they're genetically programmed, they're getting paid for it, that's their job. They want to fool themselves that I'm good, that it's chlis, that's their kaddishul, whatever. We have all kinds of reasons to say that their love doesn't really validate me, doesn't really say how great I am. But one thing is true. When a parent puts a kid down, that's the ultimate diss, that's the ultimate devastating message, because my parent, who's supposed to be the one that loves me so much and thinks so much highly of me and the one who's programmed genetically to recognize all of my greatness, that one doesn't hold for me, I must really be trash. And unfortunately, we live in a generation today where that's far too common. We've become the establishment. Communities grow up all over, you know, in a short period of time. And look, where's that? We have neighbors. We have social influence and responsibilities. A couple of years, we have shiduchim to worry about for our children. The way you act, I can't. It's an embarrassment. I'm a pariah in my community. How my child should act this way, should look this way, should dress this way, should talk this way. Can't handle it. And we, since we're so establishment accomplished and establishment oriented, and it's like we're much less tolerant. Years ago, people were tolerant. Nobody looked at what you were wearing. Nobody looked at the material of your yarmulke, of your hat, of your. Nobody cared anything. You know, a Jew is a Jew, and we're all happy to be together. Today, things are a lot different. We have to be so careful. Because when we put down a child, when we criticize, and sometimes we do have certain responsibilities, but, you know, sofik deraisa l'chumra, I would say, you know, should look very carefully before we criticize. And to me, the most traumatic example is what the Torah tells us, and Parshas Tevorim Rashi brings, that Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed apologized to Reuven, and he said, Reuven, I should have been. I'm sorry I wasn't machiach you earlier, because I was afraid that if I'd done it before I'm on my deathbed, you would leave me to lidobek be'esav ochi, to join Esav. But Reuven had already done. We learned in this parsha, Rashi brings, he had already done shuva. And Ruvi was such a tzaddik, he's going to go join forces with Esav. And Yaakov knew how to give to Yichocho. Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Yaakov when to give it. And Moshe Rabbeinu gave it so much for Remiza, Rashi says there in the beginning of Dvarim. Yaakov Avinu also knew how to give it in the most gentle way. But he was afraid, To Yichocho can be so devastating, maybe from such a great father. But in the eyes of our children, we are great fathers. In fact, we don't have time, but just happened to notice today, and someone printed this out for me, it's entitled, Spanking Can Lead to Relationship Violence. And right, the whole thing is because the kids, they say, have to learn bi'iyun, what that posuk really represents. It's not so poshut what it represents. And you have to see what the modern day poskim say about a world where the children are not so confident in their parents' love. And they claim here that even in the context of love, of course, their level of love that they're talking about is probably far different from what we spoke about and what Chazal speak about. But they get confused that this is the love and this is the way you express love. And they say later on in life, in what should be loving situations, they express this way. We have to be so careful in the way if we show them with respect, we treat them with respect, if we respect their space, if we don't insult them, if we don't embarrass them, but especially not in front of their friends. That's the worst thing in the world. Friends, their whole life is their friends. We have to be so extra careful. That can make, I think, in the long run, a major difference. I'd like to conclude with one, and then if there's any conversation, with one additional thought. I've noticed, and this is a personal opinion and analysis and does not come with any scientific study or any authority, and that is that a significant number of our youth, if you will ask them the posuk that comes to mind when we are asked to describe Hashem, the posuk that most will tell you, and they won't really quote the posuk, but you get the idea. Keil nekomois Hashem. God is the God of vengeance. Too many of our people have a negative image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Meitiv. He created the world only to do chesed, oylem chesed yiboneh. He created the world with Mishpat Bereishis Bara Elokim because Mishpat is the greatest chesed, because then there's no Nama de Kisufa, that we can appreciate it, that we can feel bailus on it, just like the highest form of tzedakah is to give a person a job so he can earn it himself and not to give him a handout of any form, any fashion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Molei Chesed V'Rachamim, and as we mentioned before, we see from Hanukkah that he gives the Chashmoloim the credit for the survival of Torah Mitzvah Yisrael, even though he did it and even though he promised that it would never be destroyed, but they get full credit. The Rambam and the Ramban are made that the Chashmonoim have that credit. They saved Torah Mitzvahs. The Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Meitiv HaTova, Hashgocha Protis, that's what it's all about. And what do we see? You know, we see there's sorrows in the world, there's difficulty, and they get the wrong idea. And it shakes them to the core of their being. They have to learn about the Chesed Hashem. We have to teach them about Hashgocha Protis. They have to feel this Hashgocha Protis in every move and every turn of life. And they could see it so much. Open their eyes to it. Let them acquaint them with it. And they'll discover it on their own. And to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate native. He has no interest in this world other than giving us all of the Torah and mitzvahs. L'toiv loch. It's all for our benefit. And I think I have to keep one more thing in mind, which maybe is connected to this sense of Keil Nekomis Hashem. Yirashamayim. Yirashamayim is a scary thing. That's what it means. Fear. Yirashamayim. But I want to just point out to you a definition of Yirashamayim that Rashi gives and attributes it to Shlema HaMelech. Shlema HaMelech, after he finished with the whole world, Havel Havolim, Soif Dovra Koel Nishma, Ezra Lekim Yiro, Ves Mitzvay Sov Shmur, Kizek Kolo Odom. Zok Rashi, Ezra Lekim Yiro, What is Yirat Shamayim? What does it mean to fear Hashem? Masha tuchal asei velibcho la shamayim ki laze nivro ho'odom. What's Yirat Shamayim? Doing the best you can. And this is not like Bidi Evid, you know, some cop-out, you know, Nebuch, you're so incompetent, you're so weak, you're so stupid, you're so helpless, you can't do it. Do the best you can, and that's all. This is Shlomo HaMelech's definition, l'chatchila, of what it means, Soif Dovra Koyol Nishmo, Eserikim Yiro, Kizeh, Kolo Odom, Lezeh, Nivro Odom. Lassus Mashi Yuchal Aseh, V'libchol HaShemayim. If we convey that message to our children, that everyone has to perform to the best of their possibility and focus their eyes on Shemayim, that, you know, their heart on Shemayim, that I hope to do better, I'm trying to do better, I'm trying to do the best I can under all the circumstances of my life. It sends a whole different message. It sends a positive message on Yadus. It sends a positive message on the demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and on the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hopefully, with some of these ideas in mind and so many more that are necessary, and parenting should be an ongoing limud, that we should really constantly be focusing on. I'm not sure how many times a week you should leave your family alone to go for parenting classes. That's a different shaila. But we should be focused on this and constantly trying to grow, and it could make a major difference in our existence. To that, I just want to mention that on our website, and I'll leave this here, I don't know what means you have of communicating it. There's a website there. There's an app, and there's a lot of material that's available. I'm going to leave these here, but maybe you want in the shul. There's things about tefillah and how tefillah inspires bitochon. Just general hashkofa about mitzvahs and yom tovim in a very positive way. There's a whole book here that deals with inyoni bitochon, and here's something securing our future, which really talks about parenting. Says for the 21st century, but I think it's from time immemorial, and hopefully it's relevant to everything that we do. I'm going to leave these here, and hopefully whoever is interested can download them or call our office and be happy to send it to you. And I'm leaving something else here too. As part of what we've been talking about, we have January 12th to 14th, and here's another one that I didn't bring. This is very good. Thank you very much. I can't resist telling you the story. It's entitled Termin HaShemayim, something that I wrote many years ago. And when one of my kids was getting a little bit, 13, 14, starting to use a computer, that was a long time ago. Today it's 3, 4, I don't know what it is. So, and they noticed that people have stationery with their name and their yeshiva or whatever. So he wrote a stationery for me, my name and yeshiva. And then he noticed that they write the names of their sforim. So he says, Mechaber Termin HaShemayim. I bet you didn't count on that tonight. Anyway, this also has some very good stuff about two things, about Chizuk and Emunah on each parsha, and benefits of the mitzvahs. If our kids realize the mitzvahs are benefits, they're going to make us happy. It's privileges, it's not burdens. It can make all the difference in the world. So that's that. And this weekend, I don't know if it's Nagia to anybody here, but it's basically to get across the message that we have to be mechazek or emunah, and it has to be impassioned. It has to be with feeling. If it's with deep emotion, it will be. It's contagious. It will spread to others. It will spread to our children. It will constantly be rejuvenating in ourselves, and it can make all the difference. Thank you very much for your time and attention. If there's any, yeah.
You were mentioning about giving the kids that sense of privilege in doing this, right? Yeah, that's. I have a hard time though practically how to deliver that over. Besides, I just say, "Wow, we're so lucky to be a Yid, geschmack to be a Yid." You know, because talk is cheap in that essence. It requires something more.
Okay. So, for example, let's see. We make brochas, right? Asher kiddushonu, those brochas. Explain, why do we make the brocha before? In order to appreciate, this is a special privilege. We make a brocha, just like for having food is a privilege, this is a spiritual privilege. And we make a brocha. The way we make the brocha, the one who mumbles the brocha, then says one thing about it. The one who says a brocha, I'll never forget, there was a Rabbi Kirsner in Borough Park, in the big, this was 50 years ago, maybe B'nai David, I forget, on 16th Avenue and 54th, a big shul there. And I was nishtoimim from this man. I thought something was a little funny, but he would stand in the front of the shul before, don't get any ideas, but anyway, he would stand in front of the shul before Shacharis every day and put on his stone and scream. I would be all the way in the back. It was a big, massive shul, and you'd hear, Baruch, screaming out. But there was something to it, like this was an event. This was not a brocha. A brocha mitzvah should be an event. A mitzvah should be an event. I buy no mezuzahs. I buy an esrog. I'm going to, oh, okay, good, please, can you get me and can pick up an esrog when you're at the supermarket over there, you know, see if you can get me a little of an esrog. Well, no, there's a chavivus to it. I show, you know, chavivus. And comes Hanukkah. So some people say that the beautiful Hanukkah menorah is also, but that's not really from the Hidur mitzvah, it seems. It seems that the beautiful Ner is the Hidur mitzvah. But we're medakdik. I want to buy the most beautiful ones. I want to buy this. Some of these oil things that they go out in 20 minutes and you don't have a nice flame. And this one, wow, this is a real flame. I'm so happy I got this one. And you know, things like that. It comes to Shabbos. Shabbos could either be a burden, or Shabbos could be, oh, yeah, I can't wait for Shabbos. Or I get that. Or there's some people, you know, the old joke, that they're sitting there waiting, oh, you felt it's almost another 3 hours. Oh, it's the winter, Baruch Hashem, it's almost over, you know. Like, it was Yisurim that they're going through. There are subtleties that we can convey. And the other thing is, when we, and this I did not have a chance to discuss because I was only given a couple of hours here, and that is the Taimei HaMitzvahs. If you discuss the benefits, that makes it a privilege. If it's a benefit, it's a privilege. There's something in it for me, so then I can appreciate it. I forgot to mention, thank you. Many people think they're doing it for Hashem. Sorry to disappoint you. Hashem doesn't need not your mitzvahs, not your praises, not your learning, not your brochas, nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I like to say he needs it like a lochenkop, you know what I mean? He doesn't need it. It's all for us. It's all a privilege. And you start to, this does a lot of this on the benefits. Thank you for pointing that out.
It's only that we're working on ourselves.
Okay.
And some of the most usually is levels above it. And the kids don't realize, kind of topic, that's not, you don't say problems like that, that's fake. Or you don't necessarily do your kiddush like that, or in chants like that.
Okay.
So what do we do for ourselves to make it more
weird? Same
that
thing.
That kid won't realize, come on, what are you doing?
Oh, we are big children, you know. It's the same thing. Just focus what it is, what it means. What it means, Hashem kiddushonu b'mitzvayisam. Kiddushonu, he separated us from the whole world. Shabbos, here. You want to feel a Shabbos? Listen to this. We say on Shabbos, it says, Beini u'beini Yisrael oisi li'olam. So Rashi says, Ois gedoylo shebacharti bochem, v'anchili lochem esiyom menuchos il menucho. It v'loy nesat l'goya rotzis, v'loy nchalto l'vi psilim. What do you mean? He didn't give any of the mitzvahs to the goyim. What are we talking about? The Torah says Shabbos should have been to the goyim too, because they're also part of creation. It's yes, Mitzrayim was a Jewish event. Maimon Har Sinai was a Jewish event. The Midbar and the Anani Yaakov was a Jewish event. But Briyasa Olam was a world event. You know, much to our, maybe to surprise, Adon Rishon was not Jewish. You know, he created mankind. So everybody should be privileged with the Shabbos to celebrate the anniversary of creation. No, he only invited us to the anniversary party, to the exclusion of everyone else. And maybe you whispered quietly, Benoyach Sheshavas is Chayim Misa. You're not allowed. You're not allowed into this party. It's an exclusive party. And he invites us every week. V'anchileinu Hashem elekeinu b'av avarotun Shabbos kodshech. We ask him to renew that nachlo every single week. He invites us to join him in the celebration of creation. Just that, just the special treatment of Klal Yisrael. And what this Shabbos does for us, you know, there's a beautiful story. It was from a Meshumid, but it's a beautiful thing about this landlord that comes to visit his tenants, a nice guy, and he comes upon this family one Friday night. He sees them sitting around the table, and they're talking to each other, and they're singing Zmira, such a beautiful environment. But he notices that it's leaking in from, it's leaking in from the walls, the tablecloth is patched, the clothing is frayed, the food is sparse, you know, and he sees the object poverty that they're living in, and yet there's such tranquility and such happiness, such simchas achayim. He was shocked by the contrast. He goes over to the balabos, says, Rabbi Yid, one wish, anything you want is yours. He could have had anything in the world. He said, could you be so kind? The candle that's here is bent, and it's dripping out fast, and if it continues like this, we're not going to be able to enjoy the Shabbos meal together. Could you be so kind as to straighten it up? And I don't know what the author meant, but he hopped that the Jew's world was so complete on Shabbos. He trusts in Hashem. Hashem created the world. He invited him to this special party. There's a Boyeri Olam. And he made us do everything that has to be done before. So when we come to this Shabbos, we're sitting in a case, in a world akin to the world as it was in Sheshis and Bereshis. When he finished the world on Shabbos, everything was complete. And we can't relate to the question of what's lacking. He asked, what do you need? He could have asked $1 million. He could have asked for a new dira. He could have asked for a couple more wishes. Only one thing he could have asked, felt me a Shabbos goy. That's all. I need a Shabbos goy. And even that he shouldn't have asked for. That's besides the point. But this is what a mitzvah can do. What it means, what a privilege, what an excitement. What it means to have bitochen in Hashem. What it means to tefillah. What it means to be able to go to the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Melech, Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any time of day or night. Should also go at the right times too, but that's besides the point. And ask Him for anything I want. And expect it too. The response is always not immediate, but tefillah is a machzor. It never gets turned away empty-handed. So we can, you know, develop these concepts in ourselves, and then they become influential and contagious and beneficial to our children.
Is there a positive way to give consequences to your children if you have to?
Well, you know, you used a very good word, consequences. It reminds me of a story which is not such a good story. A young girl was a wayward child in a school. She was sent home because she did something inappropriate. She refused to go back to school. She was afraid she'd be punished. Finally, the mother calls up and negotiates with the administration that they're going to take her back and she won't be punished. She comes to school the next day and she's punished. So the mother was fit to be tied, like, what, you know, you promised me, we made a deal. So she calls up the school, she says, how you talking? What's that? She says, no, it wasn't a punishment, it was a consequence. Okay, so there's a very fine line between punishment and consequences. It's interesting that Chazal say that the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish. It says, a marshal to a doctor who says to you like this, if you drink this, you're going to be well. If you drink this, you're going to get sick and die. And it's your choice. And he says that the unshim for averus are really the natural consequences of what we do. And therefore, I think the idea is that we shouldn't feel, oh, I resent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what it is. Hey guys, I told you. This is for life and this is not. Bachar to bachayim, you make the right choice. However, there definitely is a need for a certain consequence. So first of all, I think there's a book, if you're interested, it's really for teachers, but I think it could be good for parents too. It's called Assertive Discipline by Lee Cantor. It was written 40 years ago, but I think it has a lot of, and the basic concept thing with consequence, his suggestion is as follows, in short, it's a whole book, but first of all, have as few rules as possible. Because the more rules you have, the more you're going to have them broken. Rules are made to be broken. Everybody knows that. So the fewer the rules, the better chance. Then you can agree upon, make the consequences clear, make them rational, and I would even say, I don't remember what he says it or not, they should even be discussed up front. So everybody knows. I mean, can't do this with your one-year-old, but you know what I mean? But they should be discussed about these. If you do this, there's this consequence. You do this, there's this consequences. Don't make too many of them. And that way, you create an environment, not of conflict, but of choice. You don't clean up your toys. Let's see, if that's your big thing, you know, in the house. I don't know what your big, if that's your biggest problem, you're very fortunate. But anyway, so you have a certain consequence. If you don't clean up your toys, the next time, for a half hour, you're not going to be able to take out these toys or whatever, you know, something like that. So it's seicheldik, it's educationally sound, and it's something I know up front. So, oh, you decided that tomorrow you don't want to play with these toys anymore because you violated them. That's what I think. But you got to be soft on them. Some are very critical. Safety is, of course, you know, safety may even be the one place we're allowed to violate that study. What? It may be even to, you know, to give a patch or something. A little kid runs across the street. You can't, like, let him get away with that. Because, but that's, I think, maybe a general principle.
What's that? If a child doesn't listen to a parent, sometimes you can sit and you can talk and have a conversation. And sometimes you just need to be listening right now.
Well, so today they like this timeout thing, they say. And I mean, it has some psychological basis to it, because basically it says, right now you're not capable of talking. You're not capable of understanding. You're angry. So you, and I've noticed it. I see it's not in my generation. They invented it when I was already, over the hill. But Lamaise, I noticed that kids, really, they go, they get used to it, and they calm down, and then they can have a conversation and discuss. And so, you know, that could be.
You have to, as they get older, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, finally.
Well, I would suggest one of you move out of the house, either them or you, you know. But okay, so no, but then you're ready. What?
Then you're getting into the line of respecting your kid's space.
One thing is sure, that the best way to get respect from our children is to respect them. When we exhibit what we model, they copy. And I liked it in this article that I have. I have it here. I caught just one line, caught my interest, because I love to say that, and I see they got it there. They say, the parent is still the most important person in the life of this child. Now, today, that's very hard to accept, because the way they treat us, and the way they talk to us, and the way we hear them talking about us to their friends, you can't believe that that's true. But it is. After everything is said and done, parental approval, parental love, parental connection is the most important thing that they have in their lives. And therefore, we have to work on that. And we can, on that basis, again, we're not going to win all the battles. And they're going to be sticky situations. And they're going to be problems. But at least with that type of a parameter, when we talk to younger kids, we have these things. Older kids also, you could have certain guidelines, and there are certain, I call it expectations and consequences. And, you know, and again, it doesn't become personal, because we made up, we agreed. And that's why with older kids, if you really negotiate, people don't like to hear this, but negotiation with children is very important. And we negotiated this, we agreed on it. You can put it in writing, you can put it up on the wall over here if you're not embarrassed for all your friends when they come in, you know. And it works as well as anything else works, but there's no simple solution. Tzar Gidel Bonim was put into the curse that happened to Adam and Chava, right? Be'etzef Tel Dibonim, and it's Tzar HaIbor, Tzar HaIbor, Tzara Heroyin, Tzara Haledo, and Tzara Gidel Bonim. That we can't get away with that. So, yeah.
So you understand the appreciation and the value of the mitzvahs and the privilege, but life is hard, and Jewish life is harder. And there is a burden in life. It's a pleasurable burden. But by not giving that over to your children, are you really preparing them for the real world when they're older?
No one is saying you shouldn't. They're going to know the burden, and you have the burden, and they know the burden. But to make it as privilege, not again, pleasure is a separate thing. Pleasure, you have to pleasureize the body in order for there to be a total positive attitude towards whatever is going on. That's one thing. But in terms of privilege, that's not saying denying the burden. That's just trying to put a positive spin on the burden. The burden's a burden. And we know, but I don't have to walk around krech and say, oi, si schwerz ist ein Yid, oi, 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 I can't handle it. I care. And that's why if a person has bitochen, a person has emunah, if a person exudes that bitochen in Hashem, you rely on Hashem and I counting on Hashem, and they see that you really trust that Hashem's going to help you, it's a whole different story. That makes a major difference. Okay. Hatzlocha Rabba. Shav nachas from all your children.